How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Radio Laurier News / podcast. It is Monday, November 23rd, and we're going to be discussing some local, global, and national news stories. Welcome to the show.
What's up, everyone?
Hi, this is Rajni.
All right, so what do we got to talk about this week? Where do we even begin? So I know you guys came prepped with a little bit of stuff for us to talk about.
Yeah, so I did the KW region news. And the focus of this news is mostly the red zone, the fact that we've moved into the red zone for COVID restrictions. And
yeah,
what that will really mean.
You guys have moved up. I'm a bit separated from it. I'm living in Toronto and we're in lockdown.
Completely locked down, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So what's the red zone looking like for KW?
So red zone means absolutely no dining in restaurants. They cut down the limits on people gathering inside and outside. And they also have like a time limit where you can't serve alcohol and you can't stay open as a restaurant anymore.
Right, right.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Actually, a couple of places have closed down permanently because of that. So I don't know if you guys know about Marble's Uptown, but they have to close down because of the new restrictions. Like, it's just too much for them to operate.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of that was happening in Toronto as well. Like, a lot of the tinier places in Kensington Market were shutting down around the start of the pandemic and have not, and a lot of them still haven't been able to open up again because there's just no business. Or what little business they do have is just not sustainable. You're going to say something, Jeffrey?
Yeah, just for our listeners, please bear with us. This is our second week doing this sort of podcast-y kind of format. So we're still kind of feeling each other, the chemistry and kind of everything.
And exactly.
With that being said, I wanted to ask you guys, Jacob and Rajni, do you guys think that a lockdown is... like, we need a lockdown, or do you guys think that people should just roll the dice and, you know, like, people who have immunocompromised bodies stay home and everyone else just kind of rolls the dice? Like, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I personally think that we should have definitely had at least some more restricted measures because people were really treating it as a free-for-all, especially in Waterloo. I used to walk at night down Hazel Street a couple of times on Friday nights. And there was still people having parties until it got pretty cold in the evenings. People were having like backyard gatherings and like drinking, and like the standard Waterloo party was still going on. And like even a couple of my friends said that they knew of people having parties still, even though it's Corona time. Like, people are not taking it seriously at all. And then people are sitting down to dine in restaurants and it was just a mess. So I think they should have put something in place earlier, because that's why all the cases were just skyrocketing like that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And especially, like, it's tough to say like when the point for lockdown is, because you know, we've got our yellow and our red zones, and then we've got, you know, straight up lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
But is there an in between? Like, is there a compromise? Because it's obviously a very stark difference between red and lockdown.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, you know, for some people, it's not a big deal either way, but for a lot of people, it's devastating, you know, especially like the small business owners,
for
like
sure.
You were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I completely agree. Personally, I agree. Like, they should have, like, I don't think they should have done a lockdown. I think they had to do a lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, I still don't know anyone that's got Corona, to be honest, but like the numbers aren't lying. Like the hospital beds, you know, like that's facts, right? So what do you
mean?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and especially for us, like I feel like it's a lot easier for us to say because, you know, we're relatively young. We're like early 20s and stuff. We're not really, you know, we're not the target demographic here. Like if we were talking to some people
who are older,
up in their 50s and 60s, I'm sure they
like
know
our parents and grandparents.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think Jeffrey, you're lucky you don't know anyone who didn't have Corona, because apparently in the U.S., 1 in 3 people know someone who has died from COVID. So
that is a crazy.
Yeah,
is that for real?
Because it reached apparently 750,000 deaths at this point. Just deaths only.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wait, that doesn't. Wait, hold on. 700.
Are you sure?
Wait a minute. That's not a right number. Hold on.
That's what I heard from yesterday. So it probably is more today.
Unless they've gotten
even worse.
No, they're still at 250,000.
That's still a lot, though. That's still a lot.
Yeah, I was worried for a sec. I was like, did they suddenly get 500,000 deaths in a day?
Sorry about that. I was worried there.
No, all good. But yeah, the fact that they have 250,000 deaths
is, that's still,
yeah, I mean, crazy. It's ridiculous. One thing that I've been looking at is like, everyone's going to want to go away for the winter. I mean, my family included, we've been looking at like, what's a safe option to go away for this winter and whether it is safe at all. So, yeah. You know, I know that the demand is going to be there. People are going to go, yeah, pandemic or not, but the question is like, what's the safest and best way to do it?
Did travel in the middle, because I'm an international student, so I came back from Canada to Jamaica for the Christmas. So I actually came back, since we have online classes, I came back last week because I'm in quarantine right now, so that I have the whole month of December to really be on holiday. But our hotels and stuff are still open and we allow people to come back. You just have to, you have to like, comply with the 2-week quarantine period, and you also have to fill out some paperwork before you come in. And from the US, you have to do a test.
Yeah.
Right. Which makes sense, because the U.S., I mean, they should, every precaution necessary should be taken.
Exactly.
Talking about the U.S.
I mean, so guys, I think there is some hope, though, just because the amount of vaccines, like, I think right now there's 4 vaccines that are over 90% effective.
Oh, yeah. AstraZeneca made a new one, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So new one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
There's hope, guys. I think there will be a bit of hope for the coming, for the new year.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think hope is what we all need right now. This stuff it's been bleak.
Yeah,
not gonna lie.
Yeah,
like we have to be realistic but also hopeful.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind, especially in the wake of everything that's going on.
Yeah,
and especially with, you know, COVID has been dominating the news cycle these days. But I know you guys got some other stuff prepared. So what else has been going on in the news cycle outside of this pandemic?
Raj, do you want to focus on the national, or do you want me to take away some global stuff, or the local?
You can go ahead with the global, because all of my local stories were really COVID related. That's kind of all that's happening in Washoe region right now.
No, there's definitely a lot of interesting global things going on for all our listeners. So last week I was talking about the crisis going on in Ethiopia currently.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd just give a little update in case anyone kind of wanted to know, because it's not really being heavily reported on, but it's like a big, big civil war. You know what I'm saying? Like thousands of people have reportedly died so far.
Wow.
So basically, the thing that makes it such a sticky situation, such a sort of complicated situation, is that the region that the Ethiopian government is invading has like an electricity blackout, so it's really hard to get like accurate news out of the region. So death reports and like refugee numbers, like no one really knows at this point.
Yeah,
so it could be a lot worse than some people
exactly.
think. But
electricity blackouts are like a huge, huge deal, especially today.
Yeah,
like I was reading this thing the other day that talked about, like, can you imagine what would happen if you just lost all your electricity for like a week? The world would be in shambles.
You'd die.
Oh, yeah.
Like it would be. Yeah. I mean, you would die, but like, well, depends on where you're living, but
yeah,
it would be like, we rely so much on this, and I think to a point, take it for granted, at least like
That's
for those
so
of
true.
Us who are in situations where we're able to, a lot of us sort of take for granted all this stuff that we sort of rely on every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially in times of war and in times of conflict, like media blackouts can be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
definitely concerning.
Isn't that sorry, I was wondering if restricting internet and information flow, isn't that some kind of war crime?
Yeah. Is it a war crime?
I don't know if it's a war crime. But it's definitely unethical. I mean, you can't
No, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing, I mean, it would be, it's a war crime, I'm assuming, or it's a crime against humanity to deny people to a basic human right.
Like, yeah. Like, cause the internet is a, like, information is a basic human right.
Yeah,
exactly. So you would think that would be, you know, covered, but, you know, governments around the world don't really, it's not as if the other basic human rights are all being covered all around the world in a perfect fashion. So we can't really expect one place to provide everyone with high speed internet, you know?
Yeah,
I agree.
But in places like, America, it doesn't really make any sense that, like, a large group of people shouldn't have access to things like internet, or let alone food and water.
Exactly.
Like, the fact that what's going on in Flint, Michigan is still happening, you know, still a thing.
It's ridiculous.
Just because the news doesn't talk about it.
Yeah. It's insane.
That still shocks me when I think about it.
It's insane, in this day and age, 2020, and people still don't have access to clean, drinkable water.
I mean, look at the
in
first
America, nonetheless.
Exactly.
But sorry, just to wrap up this little Ethiopia crisis. Not little, this huge Ethiopia crisis. just because a lot of the, as I said, there's a blackout. So last week, it was kind of hard to really see what's going on, but now it's sort of coming more clear. But essentially, the main government accused sort of like a sub form of government in a region that kind of, they kind of control a region, and they kind of claim to be an autonomous sort of state, but they're not actually. So the Ethiopian government essentially said,
like, Quebec.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, exactly. It's basically like if Trudeau tried to invade Quebec. That's exactly.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, obviously not exactly, but you know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
What they're doing right now is the Ethiopian government gave 72 hours for 500,000 civilians in the capital of the Tigray region to leave. Mm-hmm. And if they don't leave in the 72 hours, there's going to be no mercy.
Whoa.
What the hell?
That's crazy. Yeah,
72 hours?
Yeah, they surrounded the city, or they allegedly surrounded the city with tanks. And they've...
Oh my God.
Told all the civilians to leave, or else they'll be treated as sort of the rebels.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's insane. I've not heard about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
But, and like, I mean, I know I said this last week, but like, if any of this was happening anywhere closer to us, it would be
all
national
over
news for years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's insane. And it's just like, and Ethiopia was like a relatively stable country. Not like anything crazy, but like for the Horn of Africa, they're pretty stable, like last year.
Yeah.
And now, like, the whole region's just going to shambles because of this.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, political unrest in that area is like not uncommon, but like for a country like Ethiopia, that, like you said, is relatively politically stable, it's surprising to see something of this magnitude.
Yeah.
First of all, making headway, and second of all, isn't making headlines.
Yeah. No.
You know, it's sort of, to be expected from some of the newer African countries like South Sudan, but you know, for something on this scale, it's just surprising.
I mean, that's just like, speaking of South Sudan, like the number, or not South Sudan, but North, like Sudan, the regular country, like thousands of Ethiopians are fleeing to Sudan for refugee status, and Sudan is like one of the most dangerous countries in the world.
Yeah, my gosh. You know,
imagine. I'm gonna say, if you're fleeing to Sudan, something is wrong,
right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing against Sudan, it's just like, come on, man.
You know, so.
Oh my God.
Wow.
You know, if some crazy stuff like that happened to us, I don't even know where I'd flee. I mean, if I had to flee, I guess our only choice is America. I'm not really gonna take a boat over to Greenland.
I mean,
if they're, I'd rather Greenland, but you know, it's a bit far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd have to cross water to Niagara to land.
Yeah. I'm good in a canoe, but I'm not that good.
Yeah.
You were talking about human rights earlier, and it reminded me of this quote that I saw earlier today that I really liked. It's an anonymous quote. poverty exists not because we cannot feed the poor, but because we cannot satisfy the rich.
Yeah, that's so true.
I saw that and I was like, wow, yeah, I mean, that's true. Because when you look at like, whenever these statisticians give like proposed numbers on how much it would cost to end world hunger, end homelessness in America.
It's like a drop in the bucket numbers. For rich people, for the billionaires.
You look at these numbers and you're like $33 billion. That's a lot of money. And then you look at like
the net worth of billionaires.
Yeah, like how much the US spends on their military per year.
That actually
it's like a
physically pains me. It pains me because they're always emphasizing how cheap it would be to feed like every hungry person in the US or give every homeless person some kind of shelter. And it's like less than half of what they spend on the military. And it's just like, why do you need the military?
Less than half, less than 1%.
Yeah, no, it's so minuscule compared to what they spend on the military. And it's like, why do you need to spend so much on the military? Like,
and then you look at people who are, and then you look at people and the US is like actively, you know, the onus has been shifted from those who have the money to those who don't.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I saw the other day that shocked me was Biden's transition team was asking for donations to help fight like the legal fees.
Wow.
Trump's like, wait, what? To fight
Biden, to fight the Trump lawsuits. Oh my God. In court. And the fact that like, it's like pay us so we can have like, just the idea that that this transition team that has spent God knows how many billions on this campaign is now, you know, so down in the dumps that they have to ask, you know, poor working class Americans.
Yeah, for to their sponsor money. Their legal battles. And that's just insane.
Yeah, to sponsor their legal battles in order to win an election. And meanwhile, it's like
that is crazy.
Oh, it's just it's wild to me. Like nowhere else in the world do people have to pay to ensure a fair election.
No, you know? Honestly, actually, now that you speak of the U.S. military, I'm taking an African literature class, and one of the topics we discussed was child soldiers. So I was reading up more about it, and then it said that the U.S. has come under fire for like relying on children to supply their military. So I was wondering how that doesn't really make any sense because it's not like they go kidnap kids, but apparently the way that they do their recruitment by sending soldiers into high schools and offering marketing it in such a way that it's like
free healthcare, free dental,
and free education. It's crazy. And then they're the ones condemning places in like Africa or the Middle East for having child soldiers, but they're basically doing the same thing.
It's like the closest thing I can equate it to is like grooming.
Yeah.
And I know that's a bit of a severe example, but like,
no, it really
the
is.
The fact though. That like, I'm not sure if you guys heard about this, but earlier in the year, AOC made a whole thing on Twitter about how the US Army was making like accounts on Twitch. Do you guys know about Twitch? Like the streaming platform?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So the US Army has Twitch or they had Twitch and they were using it to actively recruit like teenagers, like 14 and 15 year olds and get them into like pre-army like things and send them sign up forms that are disguised as like win a free Xbox by filling out your name and address type stuff. And it's like it's disgusting what they're doing to these kids. Like they know they're impressionable. They know that they can have them in this position.
And they know they're disadvantaged. So they know they're disadvantaged. Yes. Like they specifically target lower income schools because they know those people can't afford college on their own.
Like from a marketing standpoint, genius. From an ethical standpoint, disgusting.
Yeah, you know? No, honestly.
And like on top of that, the way that the military is like glamorized there,
it's
like so different. Like I feel like in Canada, you know, military service is seen as like honorable, and it's you know, that's about as far as it goes. There's no real like, yeah, I'm gonna join the army.
Yeah.
Know? But in the US it's like, oh, my son's an army veteran.
And you're like proud of it.
Like my son's in the Navy.
You know, like, yeah, my son has lasting trauma and PTSD. Woohoo.
Oh my God.
No, it's crazy. America.
And like
crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like you can join at 17 if you have your parents' permission. And then they
really say, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Your parents can sign
I thought it was a hard cap at 18.
No. It should be in the UN Declaration of Child's Rights, I think, but The US allows you to join at 17 if you have parents' permission. And then I think both the US and the UK say that under 18s will not be deployed for active service, but they always do inadvertently. Like, because there's always...
Inadvertently deploy a 17-year-old for
active service. There's always an oversight or an accident or a mix-up of some kind where a platoon of teenagers gets deployed. And it's just crazy. Like, how do you accidentally deploy people?
Jesus. It's like birth date 2003. Yeah, let's go. Oh my god. It's one thing to see like for example, in the NBA this year, this is the first year that that I think like a bunch of draft prospects from this year's NBA draft are either the same age as me or like a year younger. I'm not sure which one it is. But and you know, that's kind of funny. But seeing that and thinking like there are kids born in 2003 who are now in the military.
That's ridiculous.
This one shocked me. There are active military members in Afghanistan who were not alive when 9/11 happened.
Yo. Wow. Oh my god.
That's wild. To be fair, I was six months old when 9/11 happened. But like, oh my god.
Thank goodness.
Remember when every president promised to take the troops out and then never did?
Oh
yeah.
It's just
good times. Good times.
Just an endless cycle.
I feel like every time we do this is just, it always comes back to COVID and always comes back to America. And honestly, I understand why, because they've been taking up so much of the headspace.
Yeah.
I mean, in a perfect world, like, we wouldn't have to hear about the businesses of other countries because it wouldn't be so much of a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a perfect world, I would not have to concern myself with US politics.
Yeah. You know? But we have to.
We have to, because and a lot of times I speak to them, like, I've not experienced this, but my friends have told me about this. Like, they'll talk to Americans about US politics and the Americans will be like, "Wow, you're so educated on US politics."
They don't
even
know their own politics.
It's so cute that you know so much even though you're Canadian. It's like, literally, how can I not?
Yeah, no, honestly.
Like, how, like, if you know anything about anything, you're aware of US politics at the moment.
Yep. Actually,
or at least have a general idea.
It's kind of the same in Canada. I think as an international student, you figure it out when you move there that we have to learn so much about everyone else. And then when we come, no one knows anything about us.
Yeah.
Like, people asked me, "Do you have supermarkets in Jamaica?" And I was just like,
No, we just hunt all our food.
Yeah, no, we just pick it off the tree in the backyard, you know, like everyone lives in huts and all that. But it just seems very unfair that if you're from a smaller country or maybe not as developed country, you're expected to know about everything. And then you go to a first world country or a developed country and then these people don't know anything. And you're like, wait, how did y'all get to be so powerful if you don't know anything about, like, the average person doesn't know anything about external events.
I mean,
that's how they
got to be so powerful. Ignorance, right? Like, if you're ignorant about everyone else around you, then you have no feeling when you kind of just take whatever you want. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I can almost assure you that, like, you know, Christopher Columbus and like the rest of everyone else who was colonizing the world back then wasn't really aware of like the delicate cultural, social, and ethno-religious practices
of
the places that they were taking over. Because if they did, first of all, they wouldn't have done any of that. Second, because like
that didn't fit the narrative.
No one would go through that if their goal. Yeah, of course, no one would willingly go through that if the goal was, I guess, obtain spices. I don't know what the hell they were doing back then.
Gold.
If their goal is to obtain spices, they failed because
it was gold, glory, and God. I think.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah. Spices was in the east to India and China.
Oh yeah, you're
right. Right.
But he thought he was going to India, which is why it's now called the West Indies.
That's stupid to me. You know, for some reason I never made that connection.
Yeah.
Like everyone who's taken a geography class knows like the whole like Columbus landed in America and saw the Native Americans and thought they were Indians.
And
the name stuck, but the West Indies one, I never made that connection until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
And then
it shows how much like a stupid mistake can make a difference in the future.
Honestly, it's so crazy to think that if he didn't stumble upon that and think he was India, so much would be different right now.
Yeah. And like the best part, it could have been solved by a really simple question. Who are you?
Yeah, no,
what
honestly.
What is your name? Where am I?
What do you call this land?
So much, like, yeah, literally, where are we right now? What are we standing on? So many of life's problems can be solved by asking questions to people who know what is going
literally.
On. And a vast majority of things can be answered through Google. Like, I've been amazed recently at how many problems can just be solved by Googling it. Like,
oh, really?
Literally the majority of questions that like your parents or like any adult in your life asks you, especially stuff about technology, could have easily been solved by themselves with a Google search.
The thing about that,
people underestimate
how
much information is out there.
And also
yeah.
from that generation, people aren't really used to Googling everything. They're more used to like social learning from physical people around you. So it's like, well, for us, it's an instinct. If you don't know, just Google it. You know, they're like,
exactly.
That's not the norm for them.
And it's going to be the same for us in like in 40 years when everyone is like tapped into like the mind sphere where they just engage a certain section of their brain and immediately get the answer by logical deduction. I'm going to be like, no, I'm just going to Google it.
Exactly.
You know, I just want to see what Google says and then I'll be okay. You know, I know I can get the accurate answer by tapping into another part of my brain with this AI chip that Elon Musk put in there, but I just want to ask Google.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, that AI chip thing, that's like legit. Did you guys hear about that?
I heard vaguely about it, but I didn't look further into it because it reminded me of Black Mirror too much.
Elon Musk is developing a chip for your brain, and in like this was a bit ago. I can't find the one recently, but Elon Musk unveiled a pig. And
yeah,
he had put a chip
inside
his brain.
The pig. Yeah.
What the hell? That's so scary.
Yeah, I think
it's like,
Elon Musk
needs to
chill. Go away. Yeah.
he needs to sit for a second and breathe.
Like just because
like,
you can't
just
mean
like
you
just take a breath, bro. Yeah, literally. It's interesting how this relates to this is a super obscure reference. Have you guys heard of this, the Iranian author FM 2030?
No.
No.
So he's this author who is a proponent of this psychological theory or idea called transhumanism, which is basically like the idea that like the ultimate goal of humanity is to like transcend humanity and like become like evolved beings. So it's a really weird stuff. And this guy, you know, the guy who like brought a lot of this about, his name's FM 2030 because he was born in 1930 and his goal was to completely assimilate with the robot and stuff and live until the year 2030.
Wow.
And anyway, he was a pretty
is he
no
still
he died
alive?
In like the 90s.
Oh damn,
he died in the 90s, but he was total I was gonna say total weirdo because he is, but you know, I know he's smiling down upon Elon Musk, seeing that he's putting chips in people's brains, because that's, you know, I would not be surprised if we ended up in a, have you guys seen WALL-E?
Yeah.
I haven't,
do you remember that scene?
Heard of it.
Okay, so there's this scene where WALL-E and the robot girl, whose name I can't remember, end up in, like, the big ship. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
thank you. Where they both end up in the ship where all the humans are, and like all the humans are like really fat and they're being carried around and like in like those chairs and like everything is done for them. It's kind of automatic.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if like a certain percentage of the population just like goes for that, like Brave New World style.
Yeah.
It's not encouraging to think about though.
Yeah. I'll just rest assured knowing that I'm going to be I'm going to be like that. Oh God, what's the name? Main character of Brave New World. Oh, I can't remember his name.
Savage?
Whoever he is. Is that his name?
John the Savage?
Yes. Wait, no.
Oh.
Was that him? Or was that the other guy?
I don't know. There's a character called John the Savage who like lives like a normal.
Yeah, like, I remember him.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, whatever the people who aren't tied into the mind sphere or whatever, I'm going to be like them because, you know, I'm okay living life on my own without some artificial computer helping me. And we sort of diverged here, but I think we covered some good ground this week.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. Hopefully you don't get too hooked into a computer between this time and next week. To all our listeners, try not to get too hooked up into the mind sphere. Maybe go out for a walk and get some fresh air these days because, you know, Lord knows we all need that with everything being online.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to add?
Not pray for Ethiopia, guys.
And good luck on your finals.
Absolutely. Yes, good luck on your finals and, you know, do some breathing, sit back and, you know, relax. It's going to be okay. I know we're heading into the final bit of the year, but we're going to figure it all out.
And on the bright side, that, if the world ends, your finals won't matter anyway. So
yeah, exactly. So that's one less thing to worry about. And, and one more thing. I hope you guys enjoyed the new time. We've made a shift to noon because, you know, who's listening at 9 a.m. really? But, news at noon. Same time next week, 12 o'clock noon on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a nice week.
Take care, guys.